I wish I knew the answer, honestly. Like, I wish you could bottle it up, you know? And, you know, but then it wouldn't be so great if you could, right? Because it is like you're chasing that. And it's just magic. I mean, to me, there's like, if you were to say, like, what is magic? It's music. Like, I don't know any way else to say what magic is other than that.
There are experiences that are healing, and being part of a community, that's being part of a group, that's being part of something larger than your everyday life. That, to me, is part of that magic, too. The experience in the community revolved around live music.
It's like when you're going through an amazing landscape or forest, and you come up on a view or a tree or something that just blows your mind, and all of a sudden the wind picks up and you feel this, like, this moment, and your kind of yourself and your identity just melts away into that whole, into that moment, and you're just kind of one with everything. You're just, you know, and that is, I think, the best of improvisation, and kind of what it means to us in a way.
So here we are with Alana, Hunter, and Jeffrey from STS9. So glad to have you all on here. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thank you for having us.
Glad to have you all here. I'd love to start this off by talking about STS9's approach to both composed and then more free sections. Like, I feel like it can be almost indiscernible with you all when it's composed or when it's improvised. And I'd love to hear you all kind of talk about, is that something you do intentionally, and kind of why you think this approach works so well?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is intentional. And, you know, it's something that we want to explore as a band together, both, you know, where we're playing composed music, but allowing ourselves spaces within those compositions to be more free and to just listen to each other and to have kind of a conversation on stage, and to try to come back to or go somewhere else. But whatever we do, we like to have that element of freedom involved, because that's where a lot of times the real magic of playing live happens. For us, it's just, you know, having so many influences and wanting to kind of make the most of the moment of every show. You know, we want to bring something new and fresh and kind of specific or different, kind of unique to each place that we play, every show that we play. We want something just unique for that night. Like, it only could have happened that night. And so improvisation allows that, really is a huge, you know, driver of that phenomenon for us. And it keeps it fresh, keeps it fun. I think people come to listen are, it keeps it open and kind of interesting for them. They don't quite know what to expect. We don't know what to expect. We're feeding off of them. They're feeding off of us. And it's this kind of energy that's created between the band, the crowd, our light guy, our you know, front of house engineer. It's this whole thing that we're kind of conjuring together. I think improv is one of the best places to, or one of the best ways to kind of conjure that energy together in a crowd.
Well, I think it's very well said. And I think, you know, a good metaphor for what that experience is like a organic conversation. Like, we're all listening to each other. We're speaking through our instruments, and we're reacting to what other people say, and the subject matter might change. And, you know, it's a real organic thing. And I think that comes through a lot of experience, but also a lot of trust in each other, to go up there and take those risks and to be vulnerable, to not play it safe. And I think that's where some of the juiciest parts of life are, is when you take those risks and are can be involved in a creation that is beyond what you could plan. Hmm. And that's very satisfying as an artist, and I think as a music fan as well.
Agreed. Alana, anything to add?
God, everybody said amazing things. I just would add that I think that's kind of what makes our band unique. You alluded to it with the question, just that we have these composed sections and then we have these free sections, and we are definitely intentionally trying to almost make them seamless, and of course, surprising, like Hunter said, but I think that is, you know, what we're really trying to kind of stretch as far as we can, like how we can do that and how we can make it, you know, how these sections can flow in and out of each other in a really seamless and effortless way. And it's something that I think we're always striving to go deeper with.
You know, you bring up conversation, how there's these like instantaneous communications and ideas that go back and forth when a band's jamming, when during like an STS 9 improv section. And I'd love to hear you all talk about what listening and speaking non-verbally is like. It's almost feels like telepathy is happening. Like what that is all like for you on stage. And then maybe a little bit how you try to mentally approach that to be most conducive to that kind of communication.
I love your questions. That's a really great question. Some of it is just completely out of our hands, you know? What does it feel like when you're in that moment is, you know, hopefully what I'm trying to get to is in a moment where I'm not thinking. If I'm really feeling it and I'm really in the moment and I'm really like having that conversation in the best way is when I'm just, the thinking is gone. I'm not thinking about what scale I'm playing. I'm not thinking about what, you know, what key I'm in. I'm just not even thinking about any of that. I'm just listening. And for me personally, that comes from a lot of practice to be fluent in those scales, in my fretboard, in my musical knowledge, so that I can completely forget all of it when I'm in those moments. And there's a definite mental state that I'm trying to get into and trying to access. And for me, it just requires a lot of like years and years of preparation and practice to get there. Otherwise, if I'm not in that moment, I don't think I'm coming across as, you know, as I want to. Like when I'm really able to feel those, everyone else around me and internalize it and respond quickly is when I'm just like completely free and I've let myself all the thinking go. And so to me, it really is a matter of, you know, having that time spent with your instrument so you can access that, you know. And I think we all have different ways of getting there, but you know, after the band has been around for 25 years and we've all spent a lot of time not only playing, you know, practicing individually, but with each other. And so that, you know, those years and years of just even life together influences that moment. And so it's really like a convergence of all those things at once.
I love that. I think I've learned, you know, personally, I had a certain kind of idea of what improvisation was. And that's evolved and changed over the years. And I think, you know, when you talk about improvisation, you know, I think we think of jazz. What those players are doing, you know, I think there was a misconception for a long time that it was just kind of going up there and doing whatever you were feeling and anyone could do it. And it was just kind of being a part of the moment and just going for it. And there's a truth to that. Like, you know, just in life. And I think there's a new definition to the word improvise that is true. But I think as far as jazz and music is concerned, it's really about what Alana was saying. It's about immersing yourself in the music and the scales and the modes and the culture of the music you're trying to improvise with. And we're not trying to improvise within the jazz structure or play jazz for that matter. But I think that's where our conception of improvisation comes from. And that's what we're really inspired by when we think about that. And another thing, you know, I think when you ask, like, what does it feel like? To me, it's always felt like, and I think it's a feeling that we chase in a certain way. It's like when you're going through an amazing landscape or forest and you come up on a view or a tree or something that just blows your mind. And all of a sudden the wind picks up and you feel this, like, this moment and your kind of yourself and your identity just melts away into that hole, into that moment. And you're just kind of one with everything. You're just, you know, and that is, I think, the best of improvisation and kind of what it means to us in a way.
These guys are reading my mind. I mean, that's the experience we experience. And the only other thing I'll say to that is it's not as complicated as one may seem. It's just being present and doing your work and not trying to practice on the field, right? You do your practice before the game. And like, it's very much like this interview in a way of like a question, a conversation, an expression of emotion, all within a construct called a song or called a conversation, you know. It can be that simple. It's not always that simple, but ultimately it is, you know.
Well, if you made it this far, thank you for listening. Just want to let y'all know we've got these hand-dyed, ice-dyed Weird Music Podcast hoodies and also tees. If you'd like one, let us know. We'd love to get you one. Also want to give a big shout-out to Voodoo Ranger from New Belgium Brewing for sponsoring this podcast. And a big thank you to the geniuses over at Thrax CBD for sponsoring us with their amazing products. Also want to give a big thank you to J&J Distribution, Ohio's premier Delta 8 and CBD wholesale supplier. Retailers, check out their brands Cloud 8, Compassionate Buds, and Zaza. Also a big thank you to our local print shop, Franklinton Press. Definitely hit them up for any of your custom merch or custom printing needs. They'll take good care of you. Got links in the description. And yeah, much love, y'all. Now back to the episode.
So with trance music and music that's very rhythmically focused, it can almost sometimes, you know, you're dancing and an hour of music can pass by. It feels like a blink of an eye. And, you know, I can say I've had that kind of feeling, you know, at an STS9 show. And I'm curious to hear from you all what you think it is about music of this style, music with repeating patterns that can cause for this kind of feeling of time passing.
I think it's very similar to the things we were talking about of what our experience is playing music. I think it's the same can be had for the listener in that way of being present, being in the moment, finding that place where the past and the future, it's just now, you know? And I think that's a really fun space to be in as a human, you know? It's experienced in a different way through music and dance. Been part of cultures for all of known history, you know, so.
I think too, just in terms of, you know, you mentioned, you know, trance or dance music. I think there's this inherent kind of, you're playing with time. You know, we're so embedded into the minutes and the hours of the day and the calendar, all these things. When you come into a place where, an artistic place where there's, you know, sound and lights that are on a different timing, and you know what I mean, that kind of separate you for a moment from this kind of internal clock that you've kind of connected yourself to, and so it just, the music is a great way of just, I think all art in a way has a great way of just suspending time, and slowing down time and making everything feel just like you're connected to it in a different, more natural way. Maybe you're not thinking about it, maybe it's just because, like Jeffrey was saying, you're in that moment. The beats per minute, maybe it's faster than your heart beats, maybe it's actually the tempo that your heart is actually beating, so you get on this and that's faster than the, you know, there's all these things that it plays with time in a big way is what I'm really trying to say. And I think just getting into that, I mean, that's a big part of, I think, why it's so seductive, is because it does seem to take us into a new world outside of this everyday a world that we've created for ourselves in a way. The clock, the hour, the time, the watch, you know, all that.
Do you ever think about what it is about music that can cause for it to heal people?
I mean, I think we all wish we knew the answer to that, right? If we did, we really would be able to heal a lot of people. I don't know what it is about it. And I think that's what I love about it, really, is that it's just so, God, I don't know what the right word is, but it's just, you can't explain it, you know, you just know what it does. You just know what it feels like. And I think it's those experiences. I think what we feel from playing music, the healing that we get from doing that, and also the healing that people receive by listening. It's also just about, you know, the people around you, the, where you are, you know, all of those things that really play into it. But yeah, I mean, I wish I knew the answer, honestly. Like, I wish you could bottle it up, you know, and, you know, but then it wouldn't be so great if you could, right? Because it is like, you, like Hunter said, like, you're chasing that, you know, you're chasing that feeling, you're chasing what you get from the senses from it. And it's just magic. It's just truly the, I mean, to me, there's like, if you were to say like, what is magic? It's music. Like, I don't know any way else to say what magic is other than that. Cause music is really, it really is magical.
For sure. And I would just add, I hope that's something we're definitely interested in, that, that, you know, we've been interested in for a long time. And actually Phipps, I wish he was on this call, cause he has worked with a couple of people in the past that are really interested in these kind of things. And I think ultimately, like Alan says, we just, you know, we don't, it's still kind of, you know, we don't really know. And it's exciting that people, that more people are taking music serious as a healing tool. We're seeing, I mean, I saw a report online just a couple of days ago from Stanford, and they've got a lot of, you know, they're doing a lot of work in this field. And so, you know, that's something that we're going to continue to be inspired by. And we all feel that natural, this is doing something good for me. And I think in a way that's enough, but it will be interesting to find out what's really going on. I mean, I think one thing is like, this is random and I have no idea like how any of this works, but have you seen those videos where someone puts like salt, like a pile of salt on a table and then hits the table with a tuning fork, depending on what key it's in, whatever, mm-hmm. it vibrates and it makes a shape out of that. They're doing that with blood cells as well. And so they're using, that's part of the basis, I think, of that Stanford study, is like using a similar kind of sending vibration through blood cells, through music, and seeing how those blood cells respond in different ways it's all vibration and what you do with it and maybe what the intention behind that is. I have no idea, but it's amazing to explore those and to be a part of a musical band that gets to kind of be in that place so much, you know?
Wow.
So yeah.
Wow.
The only thing I would add to that is, you know, talking of the musical experience and the actual physical part of music, I think Alana alluded to something that's important too, and that's the culture around music and music healing. Again, it's a hard thing to thing, but there are experiences that are healing, and that's being part of a community, that's being part of a group, that's being part of something larger than your everyday life. And then, you know, just music being that universal language, it's something that we can all relate to, no matter where we're coming from. That to me is part of that magic too, the experience and the community revolved around live music, you know.
Mm. And so you've got these shows coming up at the Caverns early November here, and I'd love to hear, like, from this context, what about getting to play in a cave is exciting for you all?
Anytime we can play within some kind of natural environment, that just heightens the intensity of everything that we do, the intensity of how we feel, just all of that seeps into the show, into the set list, into our mindset, into our very being, because nature is the you know, a big creative driver and always has been in our music and our inspiration. So anytime we get to do something like this, it's incredibly inspirational, and we try to make the most of it. We really do. But the Caverns in particular, playing inside of a cave, I just can't help but think of like Chauvy Cave in France. And there's others that are, you know, between 30-45,000 years old. And it's like the ancient past. Chauvy is considered like the Louvre of the distant past, because of just how incredible the artistry is in the cave paintings. And so this is some of the oldest art that we know of on the planet. So caves have been used for, that's almost the oldest known museum, you know, the oldest known kind of sacred place that humans wow. have. And so to be able to kind of tap into that is exciting. And we'll have some samples kind of dedicated to that.
Wow.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I'd never heard you say that before. That's pretty cool. I was thinking about just, you know, the sound in the cave, and it is really like an immersive experience. It's, we'd actually played there once before, so we got to experience it, and it really is a special venue. I mean, it's obviously a cave, you know, so, but there's an energy in there that really is amazing, and we play off of that, as Hunter spoke of, and the acoustics are really different in there, which makes it exciting as a bass player. And so, yeah, we're really excited about it. I would definitely encourage anyone that has never seen a show in a cave, definitely do it. It's amazing.
What do you think it is for people who just don't get the appeal of your style of music? What do you think it is about the music that they're just not understanding?
I have a lot of sympathy for people who don't get it. and I don't question it at all. And I don't, I was like, oh yeah, I totally get it. I mean, some of my best friends in the world who I love more than life itself don't really get it. And so, family members. Yeah, and so it's like, it's just all good. It's just not really, it's one of these things. It's like, we don't have much control over what it is. That's to say that, this is what's kind of coming out. This is what's pouring out of us. This is what we're trying to tap into. This is what has come through. And so we don't like all of it. You know what I mean? Sometimes we have the same feeling. So it's not, I don't think it's a shock at all. But they should like it. I'll end with that. They should. And please do.
Yeah, I'm with that. It's like, I really feel bad if you don't. Honestly, you're missing out. But you know what? Sometimes it's about your life. Sometimes it's life. I think like even with us, I mean, I'll speak for myself. I mean, it's like you grow in life, you grow as a human, and you can tap into different music in a different way, like something that you listened to, 15 years ago, and you're like, I don't like that. I don't get it. And then you try it again and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, how did I never get this before? And I think some of that is just life experience and growing. And so if you don't get it now, maybe you'll get it in a minute. We'll still be here. So come on.
I'd love to hear what individually for each of you, what growth and improvement looks like for you with where you're at currently, whether that's musically or just in your life.
I mean, musically speaking, I think just personally, I'm kind of at the ground level of my education, maybe my music education. And it's something I've spent most of my life doing, but in the past 5 years, I've taken it just more seriously than ever. And I'm studying with a couple people in particular, through their online classes that anyone can take. It's Kurt Rosenwinkel and Julian Lage, and just two of my favorite guitar players, period. And during COVID, they had some, they were given a lot of lessons, a lot of master classes. And Kurt especially, I've just got hundreds of pages of material that I'm just trying to, put a dent in every day. I look at it as like a lifelong project, because it's so much. So growth is just every day, just wanting to feel like it's just it's just that next day in the ultimate journey of, wherever this goes. Knowing that I'm just kind of I'm doing everything that I can. I'm putting the most I can, into this, and just to kind of keep, following wherever that goes and little offshoots and things like that. So really learning a lot of songs, a lot of standards, a lot of progressions and trying to, get in touch with a deep, incredible history of jazz in particular and music at large.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's incredible. I just feel like I have so much to learn. So many things I want to be better at musically, just continuing that practice. It's just like a never-ending journey. It just unfolds upon itself. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I think it's, studying music, an instrument, improvisation, it is a lifelong commitment. I think, for me, I kind of go in phases of like where I'm trying to go, what I'm trying to do, how I can more truly express myself on my instrument. So for me, the last little bit of time has been really about getting out of my own way and my mental game of music. And I think that's, for me, has been a really big challenge. I spent a lot of time working on the other thing and not addressing that part of it. And I feel like it's really like putting focus on that has helped me express myself better on my instrument, because I'm getting out of my own head, and that's honestly takes some practice to do, for me. But I always am always playing standards, and I still work on things I worked on 20 years ago. I mean, it really is like a lifelong pursuit. I don't think I'll ever feel like, okay, I'm good now. I'm good. I'm done. I've got where I want to go. I mean, it'll always be something else that I can be better at or know more of or learn about with music. I mean, there's so many. We're all focused on Western music. Of course, there's world music. There's so much music out there. So lots to learn. But I also think like your life and what you're doing in your life really influences that. You know, for me, I'm spending time with my family or doing things like that actually does influence my music and my how I'm able to play. So I'm trying to be more present in that and take advantage of that instead of just be sort of like, I can get hyper-focused on the technical things, you know? I think that's why I love music so much because, you know, it's just a forever growth.
Alana, I'm curious, you mentioned practice, like working on getting out of your own way. I wonder what it is you're doing, you know, to kind of make that improvement.
Ooh. I can't say like, okay, I do this and I do this. Like if I was showing you something on the bass and if I was showing you some technical thing, I could say, well, you do this, then you do this and you put your hand here and this is how you think of it or whatever. And that's why this other part of music has been so elusive for me for many, many years. And for me, I had a lot of teachers forever. You know, I've had teachers since I was 8 years old. And there was a moment where I realized that I needed to be my own teacher for a while. And that was like an important part of the growth that I needed personally. And so that's part of it. I tend to these days, I practice a lot in my mind. And that has really helped me. Because I don't have to be near my instrument and then I get away from it and I'm not so hyper focused on the technical things because I can get really like sometimes I think too focused on that and then I'm like missing the other stuff. So it's helped me a lot to just practice in my mind and see the fretboard and the instrument and my hands. And I do that a lot and that's really helped me. So if there was one thing I could say, it would be that. And then it would also just be, I think like, honestly, what Hunter's doing is really empowering because it's like you have someone guiding you and showing you these things, but really you're doing the work. You're teaching yourself. I can't say enough how important it is to have a teacher because it really helps you. There's so many reasons why you should, but there are also times where you need to kind of just figure some things out on your own too.
This has been amazing. Thank you all so much for taking these questions in stride.
Ken, the pleasure's ours. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
This has been awesome. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I spent a lot of time in Nashville, so, you know, I look forward to getting to the Cavern soon. I haven't been yet, but that show is going to be amazing. If you're out there listening to this, we got a link in the description. Definitely get those tickets before it sells out. And yeah, for the STS9 crew, I got one final question each of you can take a swing at. As an artist, what would you say is most important to you when it comes to how you define success for yourself?
I don't know if I've ever tried to define that. You know, I just draw a blank when I think about that word. I think, health has a lot to do with it. You know, physical, mental health and feeling... just knowing that I'm doing the work that it takes to keep myself inspired. And I've got systems and ways that give me clues that when I'm not doing that. So it doesn't take as long to kind of get back on track. But that's always my thing is just kind of staying inspired. And there's just so much in this world to be inspired by.
Man, you got the hard questions. Oh my gosh.
These are tough.
There's so many ways to define success. There's so many things about that word that are sort of inherent, right? Like, is someone a successful musician if they're not making a living being a musician? Of course they are. You know what I mean? That's not a prerequisite. So, you know, for me, I had a lot of goals with my music, you know, both artistically and with like being able to do certain things, you know, like being able to play at certain places or being able to play with a certain type of level of musician or, you know, those little goals that, and they're not little, but those goals that I've had kind of define the success for me of like, oh man, I got to, you know, I get to play in STS9. That's a lot of success for me, you know, just being able to be there and play with my bandmates is like a huge success. So it's not driven necessarily by money. It's more about like, you know, the artistic things that I get to do. And so I fulfilled a lot of those goals for myself. So now it's sort of like honoring music, honoring my teachers, honoring like the bass and the history of that instrument. I think more than anything.
I mean, that, again, it's hard to go third after those three. My God, they covered a lot of what I'm feeling. I think, you know, success is really up to the individual. And the only thing I would really add to what they said is really being authentic to yourself. And I think that that's a big important part of art as well, you know. And so I'll just add that and totally agree and applaud what they said as well.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to wrap this. Thank you all so much. If you're out there listening, thank you for tuning in. Much love, y'all.